Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Unlimited Realities. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer. And today we have scheduled Kimberly Englott, who has written Dump the Junk and Be Happy. However, I am waiting for Kimberly to call into the switchboard. And so, therefore, I am going to just chat with you guys, really hoping that she's having a little bit of technical difficulty and intends to be calling me momentarily. So I hope you guys have had a really wonderful week. It seems to be a week that you don't hear a whole lot about the planetary disturbances like you normally do during Mercury retrogrades or lunar eclipses or anything like that. However, I really do not know anyone close to me right now that has not experienced the unexpected this past week. And that energy can really be disconcerting because sometimes you feel like you're doing something completely wrong in regard to the human sphere of life and actions and priorities and all these good things, when in fact it just is what it is, and you kind of have to roll and you have to learn to roll and really maintain your integrity within yourself and your values, as well as sometimes you have to take charge. And I've experienced that myself this week. So it has been an interesting week to kind of step out of myself and watch, as well as an interesting week of seeing what skills I needed to bring forth to make things happen, and also allow some surrendering in the process, because, you know, it's not about controlling outcomes, but it is definitely to take an assertive action with outcomes. At the same point, it's one of those situations where this week has really provided people with an opportunity to look at themselves, how they react to things, and also how their life is really unfolding for them. So if anyone's out there listening to this and they would like to call in and talk just randomly about whatever's going on in your life or change or little tools you may use for your own happiness, since that's the topic of the day, regardless of if we have technical difficulties and Kimberly is not able to call in or not, I'm going to stay with the theme. Because what better is of a topic than happiness, right? So here we are, and the number to call, if anyone so desires, would be 213-286-6743. And I look forward to seeing my switchboard light up with any brave soul who wants to chat with me today. So I'm kind of in a spot here also, because it seems like in my little blissed mode of going through life and accepting how life unfolds itself, there's this part of existence that has transpired that really has been testing me. And so normally in the past I would feel it in a more of an anxiety realm, or even maybe get a little ticked off, maybe even feel a little bit like I'm at the mercy of circumstances. And it was interesting for me to watch me in regard to the shifts and changes that came about, because in so many regards, there wasn't a lot that I could do, and I could simply observe. And then in other circumstances, I had to take a proactive approach. And then in other circumstances, I had to stand up for myself. So it was, needless to say, less than a chill mode, less than something I was feeling was a positive all the way through. It was actually testing me. So it was interesting for me to see me. And I was kind of, you know, challenged, I would say, on some areas, because one of the areas came into play with having to do a teaching moment with my son. And if you follow any of my blogs on Facebook, you may have read my my frustration with our local Indian River County, Florida, emergency medical technicians and their lack of ethics, integrity, and compassion that we experienced. So that was a real interesting dynamic that I experienced because I teach my kids respect, compassion, empathy, you know, all living things, you know, you move into that love vibration. So, you know, my kids get it, but when you have a tech that doesn't get it, and I guess I have to tell you the whole story since still nobody's calling in on my switchboard, 213-286-6743 is the number to call if you so desire. I see no activity on my switchboard, so therefore you're stuck with me gabbing. And like it or not, I've got an hour to fill. So we may do that and we may not. We'll see how this all transpires here. But the episode, okay, since I have the air and you're either there or you're not, here's the episode. Last Friday, my son's 15 years old and has his driver's permit and is actually a really good driver, and I'm pretty anal about those things, so I would tell you if he stunk, kind of diplomatically, but I would tell you. He's actually a very good driver, probably the best driver so far of the children I've raised. Sorry, Sarah and Jess, I know you're good drivers now, but at 15, you were not as good as he is. So we're traveling over, I live beachside, I live on a little island, and you have to take the bridge over to the mainland. So we're on the bridge, and the bridge is called Barber Bridge. And he's in the left lane, and he's traveling speed limit, and he's doing great. And all of a sudden, it's about 9:45 in the morning, and he only has a couple of classes on Friday, so he's driving himself to school, and I'm in the passenger seat, as I'm supposed to be, with our seatbelts on. And all of a sudden, we hear this loud siren, like, you know, an ambulance siren. And I turn behind me, and of course, in all my cool, calm, and collectedness, I freak. So in my freak, I say to him, pull over to the right as far as you can. You know, maybe not as cool as that, but I said that. So he's handling it far more reserved and controlled than I am. Of course, I'm not completely in neurotic mode, but I have to tell you, I was not my chill self. So we pull over. We pull over all the way off the lanes in the emergency lane on the bridge, mind you, on the bridge. And the ambulance drivers, in all their ignorance, turned the, oh, God bless you, I have phone calls on the switchboard. Anyway, I'll finish this up real quick. Blew their siren, turned the siren off, and laughed hysterically. So it pissed me off. And it pissed me off to the point where I'm still addressing it with letters to the editor and the fire chief. Anyway, without further ado, welcome, please, my guest, Kimberly Englott, author of Dump the Junk and Be Happy. Here we go, people. We are going
Hi.
To talk to Kimberly.
I've actually been on the line the whole time. I'm here. So
I am so glad. I'm sorry. You know, my switchboard just lit up. It, like, had this delayed effect. It was black, 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 and I'm thinking, oh, dear God.
I tried calling in here. Yeah. I used my Skype. I used my home phone. I just got back in again, and I'm like, I don't know what else to do, but I feel like a big jerk.
Oh, God bless you. No, you are not the jerk. You know, I've had a little bit of some tentative issues here on and off with my switchboard. So it is not you. It froze up. It must have frozen up because it was completely black. I didn't even see myself on there. So here we are anyway, and we can just chime right in. And Kimberly Englott, you have written, you've really tackled quite the subject, and who doesn't want to be happier than what they are? And, you know, it's such a great topic because I'm sure you were also are also aware of how much negative talk there is out there and how much, you know, people put happiness kind of on hold for the perfect moment or the perfect instance or or creating, you know, a perfect environment to be happier or looking outside of themselves. So let's just dive right into this Dump Your Junk and Be Happy book. I think I love the title. Great title. What made you decide to write a book on happiness?
Well, my Dump the Junk series is actually something I came up with. I was discussing with my own business coach about, you know, what do I really do and who do I serve and who do I want to work with? And we had brainstormed to the fact where she goes, you help people dump the junk. And this was, early 2010, January or something. And so that stuck with me. And what I decided to do actually was to, I'm just about actually to launch Dump the Junk Volume 2 on Tuesday.
Cool.
And those are
cool.
Collaborative books written by a bunch of other women who have decided to share their own stories of carrying a lot of junk. And by junk, I mean anything that no longer fits or feels good in your life. And
right.
So the first one was all about letting go of the stuff that they had to let go of in order to let their authentic self shine. And therefore, they became happier. They started businesses that, you know, flourished. One of the women in the first book moved from, I believe it was Holland, just because her soul was calling her to move to the States. And she was terrified. They sold everything on a basically huge leap of faith, and it worked out, thank goodness. But
wow.
Some pretty amazing stories. And then the one that we're launching on Tuesday, and these are ebooks, they're actually free on my site, is all about dumping the junk around the business mindset, things to do with careers and jobs and money, because, Lord, do we have a lot of junk around money.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So there's such a joy to write and bring this collective group feel to something that's so serious. And, I mean, I'm all for acknowledging the pain out there. Do not deny if you're going through pain. However, you have all of the power over how you choose to deal with it. And so that's
right.
Where, you know, dump the junk. If you have junk, you can sit and be sad about how this isn't how it's supposed to be, or you can empower yourself to do something about it. And I'm not saying that's easy. But you got to do it, or happiness will always just be something you're searching for.
Right, and that's, you know, and there's that. It does come down to the choice, you know, in individually, and you know that's easy to say, and so much harder to do when you have to take that responsibility for your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not living your lifestyle in that fashion, it becomes even more of a challenge and a trial to kind of get your head into that space of thinking that, okay, I'm responsible for what's coming out of me, the good, the bad, the ugly, the positive, the up, the down, and what do I need to change? What do I
yeah.
need to flip around? Right?
Well, it's very similar to personal training. I mean, when I was at my unhappiest, I was also at my heaviest, and I'd let my weight creep up, and just slowly, oh, I don't look that bad, and then I'd have days where I just hated myself, and then I'd go, eh, but I'm really not that bad, because as long as I was thinking it's not that bad, I didn't have to do anything about it, and it's the same with happiness. And so over time, I acknowledged, look, I got to do something about this, or I'm going to damage my health, and I could end up dying. I mean, this is something serious. And so I acknowledged it, because you can't fix what isn't a problem, and started to slowly do something about it. And it takes work. I mean, I didn't lose 30 pounds overnight. I didn't become happy overnight either. This has been a journey since 2007 when I had my wake-up call with, okay, look, life is sucking pretty hardcore right now. And, you know, you're going down a path that is not good for you. You'll probably end up divorced. And, I mean, it just wasn't good. And so in that moment, I decided, I acknowledged the issue, and I started to do something about it. I had a transformational moment. Now, that doesn't mean that overnight, the next day, I was, you know, singing about rainbows and lollipops skipping down the sidewalk. No, it takes
sure.
work, just like losing weight. It's not that it's not something that just miraculously happens overnight. I've heard stories that it can, but I think most of us just can't believe it's that easy. And so
right.
you have to put the effort in, just like anything.
Right. I like that you say that because there's such an and this is such an overused word that I'm going to use, but it's such an illusion that
yeah.
you can just, you know, okay, get over it, be happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, on one aspect, I can understand that, but, gosh, there's so much crap in there that we have to, like, shovel out. And to be
yeah.
real with ourselves, authentic with ourselves, we kind of have to dig deep. That brings me to my next area of discussion with you. In your book, you do discuss the authentic self, and I talk a lot about that with my clients. And for me, the authentic self is really being true to yourself, but it's also recognizing what you need to tweak, and it's also living from your truth and compassion. And you talk about this in your book. What do you feel could be defined for our listeners today as the authentic self?
Well, my whole business is based around that. And in
mm-hmm.
my book, The Now of Happiness, I do detail it out. I love how you add that extra dimension. To me, the authentic self, it's your highest self. You can call
mm-hmm.
it your spirit, your soul, your inner wisdom. There's probably 100,000 words for it. And basically, I believe that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And so I'm talking about the inner you who speaks quietly to you, and she's always on the side whispering, and you know when something's right or when
right.
something isn't right. Like we know it. We like to pretend we don't. And, oh, I had no idea that was about to happen. But deep down, you know it's there. Now,
right.
she's also the side who comes out and she gets really excited about something. And she's the voice inside your heart, your mind, your gut, I guess, that guides you fairly quietly, clearly, and truly. And so she's supportive. She is kind, loving, always out for your highest good. Sometimes that requires you doing something. The first step is always to listen, right? And then
right.
decide in that point, well, I have a choice. I can decide to listen and see where this takes me. I can decide not to listen and do what I think I have to do or should do, or I can, you know, do nothing and let life happen, right?
Right.
And so that's what I mean by the authentic self. And just over time, that voice, that loving voice, has been covered up by junk, by things that people tell us that we have to do or should do, or nice girls don't do that, or, you know, this is what you have to do. And it's a bunch of junk. And until
yeah.
you recognize that and that it's not fitting, it's not working, and decide to try something new, it's just life feels really hard. And
right.
that's the purpose of most of my programs, and specifically the books Dump the Junk, because until you acknowledge what isn't working and start to clear that out, there's not a whole lot of room in your life for
right.
happiness.
Right. And do you find that there's, you know, in dealing with people that you're coaching, there's those who get their crap, and then there's those who actually kind of need it introduced to them. Like, they don't know what's going wrong, or they don't know how disconnected they are. That kind of that has to be, you know, brought to their awareness first before even you can start to tackle the issues and then get into the happiness, because you have a formula.
Yeah.
You actually
yeah.
have, and I love this, the happiness formula.
So, yes.
This is great. I mean, it seems to me like this is perfect for our society, because we're in a society where we want to be told, and the majority
mm-hmm.
of people are used to the fast food realm of living in life, and having something that they can actually tangibly look at and feel and read and go over, I think for a large majority of people is very, very effective. So how can something as intangible and elusive as happiness have a formula? And can we talk a little bit about that?
Yes. That is what the book, The Now of Happiness, is all about. Because, and I mean, my official formula, it was kind of like a joke, actually, because I was hitting on the fact that, yes, we all want, like you said, the quick start guide.
Yes.
Tell me what I have to do. But basically, the official happiness formula is to feel good. So whatever it is that feels good for you. Now, are there things that you can introduce into your life to increase that? Yes. And that's where I start to talk about my happiness formula, which is to ensure that every day has excitement, freedom, joy, inspiration, and love in it. That's my formula. And when I
Beautiful.
And that's what I infuse into my programs, my coaching, and I found that when I have those characteristics in my own life, I feel great. Now, when one is missing or more, it feels like something is missing. So now it's just become natural to me that I just, you know, on good days, all that stuff is included. On days, you know, not so good, I'm missing one or two. On days where I'm, you know, throwing tantrums and crying, I'm usually missing all. But, and I mean, these don't have to be difficult things. The words, they're a little elusive. They sound a little scary. But I'm talking about, for example, excitement. I'm not saying leave your job to take a roller coaster tour of the country or skydive or anything like that. It could be as simple as trying a new recipe or planning a trip. You know that feeling when you get really excited about something new coming up.
Yes.
Freedom, I'm just saying acknowledge what you have control over and choose. So, I mean, you can choose what color of socks you wear, what you eat for lunch, the route you take to work in the morning, those kinds of things. When you start to recognize all of the choices you do have, you empower yourself. Inspiration is about trusting that authentic self, that gut, that when it speaks up and says, this is a good idea, maybe you should check it out. I mean, you might get a step or two in and go, no, not for me. But, I mean, writing the Dump the Junk and the Now of Happiness books was inspired action. I got a jolt in, I was sitting in bed, and I just got this jolt, get a pen and paper. So I grabbed it, and I grabbed a Post-it, and I wrote down the happiness formula, the excitement, freedom, joy, inspiration, love. And following that, created a book. So
that's very cool.
You never know where stuff like that will lead you if you just you know, take the next baby step. Love isn't necessarily about loving the one you're with, although I highly encourage you to love your spouse. But I'm talking about love your home. Love your pets. Acknowledge how wonderful the planet is in our bodies and how miraculous stuff like this actually is. I watch a lot of, like, Stephen Hawking and universe, you know, astrophysics and all this stuff because it blows my mind how miraculous we really are. When you think of how big the universe is, and here we are in this perfect planet, this fairly perfect species. I mean, I don't think about breathing. It just happens.
Right.
It's just like, whoa.
right.
So
and
when
it takes a mindset to get there, you know?
Yes, it does. It takes practice.
Right.
It takes, well, since I had my major transformational moment it was about this time in 2007, I've been working my way towards this. So it takes a lot of time.
Okay. Now, you also talk about within the book, and I really love how you've broken it down into sections, and it's very, very, you know, easy to understand and easily accepted within, you know, your understanding and psyche to kind of like, okay, this needs to be addressed. But what do you feel is the one thing that people can do immediately to increase their happiness?
That is all about appreciating the good in life. We take a lot for granted. And I discovered this was probably the very next step that I took in 2007 was to look around and go, okay, well, I feel empty inside, but just looking around my outside, life isn't so bad. I mean, I'm fairly healthy. I have no major diseases. My limbs all work. I can breathe fine. You know, I'm in a loving relationship. At that point, we had just moved into a home, and the car I was driving still ran, and I had a job. And so I looked at the things like that that a lot of people don't have, and so I started to appreciate them. And that was hard because I was so stuck in the, well, so-and-so has a nicer car, and this isn't as good as my last job. So, I mean, that took practice. And then I started to appreciate the smaller things because you find that life is actually lived in tiny little mini moments. And so I started to go, well, this job isn't so great, but at least it isn't that job I had in university in customer service. At least, you know,
right.
I am contributing to the family income, even if it's not as much as I'd like. You know, I like the fact that today I got to eat a chocolate chip cookie and it tastes really good. I like the fact that my street is really quiet and safe and I can walk around the neighborhood and not get mugged or, you know,
right.
feel intimidated. It was just a mishmash of really big things that I had taken for granted that needed to be appreciated and really small things that kind of felt like a joke, but I really did value. Like, I really have a thing for colored pens and fuzzy socks. Like, they just throw me over the top. So when I started to find joy, and I made it a game. I was like, what can I look forward to today? What can I, you know, bring into my life today that makes me smile? And it's just, honestly, it was baby step after baby step. And that, it creates a snowball effect. It really does.
And you know, let's just give that a little more emphasis because, again, life really comes down to when you want positive change, it's the simple things. And it's really
yes.
the things we all have at our disposal. And people will hear it, and they tend to like, yeah. Okay, got that.
Yeah.
You do that. You know.
Yeah.
And you really kind of need to reflect upon the most simplistic aspect of your life and really give it that integrity and that respect and that love. You know, because I mean, if you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And that's
yes.
something, you know, just right there is something to really breathe into the psyche and say, thank you, God, or thank you, you know, universe, or whatever your response to life would be on that. But, you know, that is such a powerful statement you just said, and so something that everyone can do right now, you know, and if it's something
mm-hmm.
that you need to see written down, right? Make a list. Make a list of everything you are blessed with, everything you're appreciative of. And that is a wonderful, wonderful foundation right there. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Now,
that's the first thing I recommend people do. Get a gratitude journal. And every night you write down 10 things you're grateful for or you're appreciative of and why. The secret is in the why. I mean, I could just write down I'm thankful for fuzzy socks, but why?
Right.
That's what gets the emotion going. That's what starts to get you excited, and you remember, well, they're so colorful and really warm on my feet, and, you know, that's
right.
where the fun comes in. And, yeah, like, it sounds so simplistic that people just want to write it off. But that
yeah.
is the very first thing that I recommend any of my mindset clients to do. Get a journal, write it down. If you prefer to speak it out loud, that's fine too, but there's something about seeing the evidence on paper and then
Amen.
Read through it when you're having a rough day and go, oh my goodness, I realize now that I do have a lot to be thankful for and not a lot to complain about in the, you know, long term.
And you know what I love about your approach so much is that I'm a big advocate in regard to, you know, I use my intuition, you know, regardless. But I'm also, I use my analytical as well. And I love that practice in itself is not just write down what you're grateful for. It's write down what you're grateful for and then let's decipher why we're grateful for that. So you're actually utilizing both your intuitive and your analytical sides of your brain. For me, that is a brilliant, simplistic way to get both sides of your brain in sync with really the direction and the goal of where you're going. And I love your approach on that.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, you also, what do you feel is like, you talk a little bit about happiness myths. What are the two happiness myths that we can discuss here?
Well, there's that myth of more. And I fell into this trap. Actually, I fell into both of these, thinking that the more you have, the better you'll feel. Bright, shiny object syndrome, it's sometimes called in the business realm, or actually even in just life, thinking, okay, well, I now drive a Mazda, but when I have a Lexus, I'll be happier. Or I now make this much money, but when I have more, then I'll be happier. And so you're constantly striving and chasing. And then once you get it, the happiness quickly fades. It's fleeting. And so then you have to move on to the next conquest. So you never really feel satisfied or happy. And basically you're just in this desire to acquire mode. And there's not a lot of joy in that. The second one is I'll be happy when. So mm-hmm. no matter how many I'll be happy when, this is about achieving things, you reach, it's never enough. I fell into this too. I had a life checklist. So, well, I'll be happy when I finish school. I'll be happy when I get that high-paying job. I'll be happy when I get married and all of this. And I discovered that as I met each goal, again, the happiness was fleeting. And you can tell that you have this in your life if you think of the last five goals that you've met and how many of them have actually lived up to your expectations once you've achieved them. I mean, when I lost the 30 pounds I'd gained, it wasn't enough. I was still like, well, I could use maybe another 5 or 10. I mean, complete garbage, right? It's never enough when you're coming
right.
from that point of view. And so just like the myth of more, you're stuck in a constant quest to achieve something. And in both cases, you spend so much time imagining how great it'll be if or when that you're always disappointed once you achieve it because the reality can't possibly measure up to the wonderful circumstance you've imagined. And really, I know this sounds, you know, weird and maybe trite, but the joy is actually in the imagination stage. It really is.
Right.
I get so excited
right.
thinking about the possibilities and, oh, I'm going to try that, it's going to be so cool. And it often is really cool, but it's never what I had dreamed in my head. Sometimes it's better, but usually there's a little bit of, oh, well, this isn't really what I expected it to be like, right? That feeling. So watch out for those.
Or even, you know, unforeseen obstacles that come on the path. It doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. It just means, okay, guess what? Here's a little lesson for you, you know? Here's a little package we needed.
I'm a big belief in that you will get tested. You'll get tested.
Oh, yeah.
Is this really what you want? Is this really what you want? And I've had this happen last spring. I actually had what I had thought 5 years ago would be an ideal job, a job not in my business. I would have had to end my business, and I contemplated taking it, and then I realized that it was a test. It was the universe going, do you really want to be an entrepreneur? Because here's this bright, shiny object. This is what you wanted 5 years ago, and I mean, in the end, I decided not to take it, but I mean, yeah, it doesn't mean that obstacles aren't going to come up or that you're not going to be tested.
Right.
It's a constant fine-tuning of, is this what you really want? Is this what you really
right.
want? And if you're not clear on what you really want, it's really easy to get sucked down into something else, right?
Yeah, that's true, too. You know, it's either you're either going to get clear on what you want or you don't want, or
mm-hmm.
you're going to make some choices that challenge you and then, you know, come back to square one eventually to start over in
yeah.
your decisions. You know, and you've got this, in regard to the book and breaking it down into sections, you talk a lot about, like, the master life cleanse, and you call them life toxins. Let's talk about what the life toxins are and how they keep people unhappy.
Well, just like with junk, I like to keep things in terms people can understand. So I use a lot of, I guess you'd call them metaphors, maybe it's analogies, I'm not sure the difference, but toxins are the physical and mental junk holding you back. So it's the things that aren't working or don't fit anymore that are keeping you stuck. And it's broken up into toxic people, so the relationships that don't quite fit anymore. Maybe you have the friend that you kind of feel sick after talking to her because she's so negative, but you don't know what to do. Maybe you have a boss who's just a tyrant. Those kinds of things that physically and emotionally and spiritually affect how you operate in life. And then the next three, they're all to do with mindset. So I talk about the automatic negative thoughts, and then we cover the emotions, fear, guilt, worry, and anger, frustration, any of those jumbled up feelings that keep you stuck. And then the last mindset is all about dealing with self-doubt and limiting beliefs. And those all work together. I think they all stem from the single fear, what if I try this and I can't handle what happens? It's so much easier to stay where I am, even if it's uncomfortable. And I talked about that denial in my own life. But, you know, it's not that bad because at least I know how to deal with it. But you can't live in that place and be happy because you're constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. So it's important to acknowledge those mindset pieces, because if you don't have that in place, the rest just doesn't work properly. And then the next pieces are dealing with your life clutter. And I'm talking about everything from, again, too much weight on your body or illness that you should be dealing with but you're ignoring, to debt and, you know, closets that are bursting. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on hoarding.
Right, weeds in
like
your yard, you know.
Yes. Just the stuff sitting in the back, it's like your to-do list. Sitting in the back of your mind that you never actually do. And so it takes up a lot of space.
Right.
Energy.
And
the
there's responsibility
about,
there.
Yes. And once you deal with it, it frees up so much energy and you wonder why you waited so long.
Right.
Why didn't I just do that? But it comes down to the fear. And the very last life toxin that I talk about in the book is the lack of priorities and not having solid boundaries in place. And that just really comes from, it just comes from people living someone else's life. And I talk about this in Dump the Junk and the Now of Happiness. Is we're so accustomed to just sucking back everything the media and our culture and consumerism has told us that we should be or should do or should feel, that most people have constructed lives according to what someone else has told them they should be or who they are.
Right.
And I fell into that totally. This is what you do, you know. And I still get sucked into it. I'm almost 30 and I don't have, oh, my God, I don't have children yet.
and so
many relatives freaking out about this. Like, what is wrong with her? Why doesn't she have kids? And I'm going, man, leave
you're
me alone,
just
right?
30. Dear God, I mean, you know, you're just 30. And, you know, there's so many women now who are putting career first and having children later. And I tell you, I think that's pretty darn smart.
Yeah, I've done it strategically to make it easier for all of us.
Yes. Well, I tell you, because I had them I had two in my 20s and I had two in my 30s. And granted, the body does not bounce back as quickly in the 30s as it does in the 20s. But I tell you, you know, I put my career on a hiatus, on the back burner. And man, did I really, I mean, that's one of those things I never, ever would, that's one of the first things that come out of my mouth to a young woman who's starting or thinking about starting a family is do not give up your identity. Do not give up your cause, your passion, your purpose. Because even though I had it trickling in, it was, you know, everyone else's life became a priority. And that, you know, it is selfless,
But, you know, sometimes it's important to be a little selfish so you sole purpose yourself, you know. But,
yeah,
30, honey girl, you've got a long way to make a decision. Don't even think about that.
Yeah.
You know, and
tell that to
and
my
I have
aunt.
Four. So it's like, you know, if I knew it was going to never end, I think I would have used more birth control. But don't. let's get back into the book. We're talking about, you know, you have this style that really flows, and you have such a beautiful voice in your book that makes everyone who reads your book really relate to you like you're a friend, like you're someone that they've known forever, and I felt that way in reading you as well. And let's talk a little bit about how you have devised your 7 secrets to living an extraordinary life, because you have them as they're so much easier than people think. And
they are. They are. This
let's is a, get into that.
Okay. The first one is just, you know what, act with integrity. That's it.
Yes.
You know, give yourself the, give others the benefit of the doubt in an argument. It doesn't cost you anything, but it might save your relationship. You can be right or you can be happy. That's what I tell myself. And I think I've saved a lot of relationships realizing that I don't have to ensure that everyone sees it my way. It's just so stressful. And then just flowing on that, be honest, because most people can read you when you're lying. Even if they don't think you're lying, they think something's going on.
Yeah.
Don't let really petty things upset you. And then the second one is choose to be around people you admire, because the negative people don't support you, and they're constant reminders of how much life sucks. And that's not true. The third one is act with intention. So that just means be authentic in your interactions with people. So practice active listening, sustain judgment until they finish what they have to say. Just be purposeful about your interactions with other people and in business. The fourth one is act as if this is it. And that goes back to the happiness myth. Don't wait to be happy or satisfied until, you know, goal happens. Act as if you're already happy, you know, and you might be surprised to find that, hey, I am already happy. Life is pretty good. So I always recommend don't wait for that special occasion to light those candles. Light them now. Don't wait to have a dream house, to create a home that you feel comfortable in and reflects you. Do it now. It's not a waste of time. This is about your life.
That's
the fifth one is put yourself back on your own list. So many women, be it so busy, and when you have career and children thrown into the mix, you soon discover that most days have nothing to do. They don't contain you in them. Your body's going through the motions, but you're so busy thinking about how to make everyone else happy that you end up in the long term really resentful and frustrated and not in a good mindset.
Right.
The sixth one is to strive for success and all that success brings, but don't get too caught up in it. I'm not talking about settling when I say be happy now. Not at all, because I don't want people to deny situations that aren't good or even dangerous. But remember that things don't make you happy. The happiness comes from the inside. So buying into that illusion that you had talked about, that a nicer car means you're happier, is going to leave you even less happy once you achieve that. And the very fifth one is listen to that intuition. If you have a gut feeling either to do something or not to do it, don't second guess it, because it knows what's best for you. This is your higher self talking. This isn't some you know, crazy ego-driven voice that you've just created.
Right.
Your intuition, I think, it sounds like me. my inner critic usually sounds like, you know, a teacher who
everyone else
yelled at me. Yeah, yeah, your mother-in-law or that mean boss.
Right.
Or it sounds like someone else. So, yeah, again, simple things that just really involve an attitude change.
Right. And you also, you know, what I love is that there's no, you know, there's no having to do this to get there or buy this to get here or go through this big rigmarole to kind of create a better life for yourself. Your application is so practical and so integrity-based. And it's, you know, when you look at the breakdown, your formula is devised in such a way that the simplicity of it is like, kind of like, you know, a subtle foamy 2x4 upside the head where if you don't get this, then you really don't want to get this. Because, you know, it's a matter of, okay, you know, you're talking a good talk when you say, I want change and I want to do this. But you know what? The power comes back down to the individual and the individual choices. And it's not outside of yourself, and your applications are all personally based. Everyone has access to all of this information within them. And it's not something out there they have to get. It's something in here, in the soul, in the heart. And authenticity, can we stress being true to ourselves, our warts, our scars, our bruises, our joys, our skills, our love, our compassion in all its true, all its truth, all its essence, and just embrace it. Everyone has stuff to deal with. Nobody's perfect. We all have obstacles that we are challenged by. So there's no sense in comparing ourselves to another. We take ourselves with where we're at, and we move forward. And it, you know, happiness kind of is a choice. Now, we have people who, you know, I know people who are always pretty high and happy. And I don't mean, you know, falsely high, but just integrity-based high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're high on life. They see flowers and they smell them. They see a baby and they smile. You know, they live their life in a happy way in every mode. And then you have people who I call it the crust factor. And it's like it doesn't matter if, you know, they've just had a dump of gold on their door. They're going to find some flaw in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do we deal with, first of all, when we tap into our happiness, those people, those crusty people, tend to, you know, disappear because we don't feed that energy anymore in our life. So how do we decipher those who are really walking their talk and talking their truth and in their happy state versus those who, you know, kind of are, you know, perpetual victims?
You mean in inviting them into your circle?
Yeah, like as we go through the happiness aspect and we say, okay, we want to be happier, we start to recognize things in our life that don't fit, you know, whether it's a conditioning from our parents or it's friends we've held on to for 10 years or, you know, even a partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse. You know, if they're not growing with us and they're holding us back and criticizing us, there's a whole lot of things that we need to address and identify. So don't you find that sometimes that's easier for some people than other people?
Well, I think that the people who are more tuned in to their intuition already know. And actually, you know what? I bet every single person who's listening to this, when I said, well, you'll have someone in your life who kind of makes you feel sick after you talk with them, they had a name or a face pop into their head. So you already know, but most people are too afraid of the consequences if they do anything about it. So
That's right. Of
us that are naturally more intuitive is when I start to do this, I recognize that there are a whole lot of people that when I was around them, I didn't feel good about myself. And it was a combination of them just being negative. So I would meet a friend for coffee, and we'd talk about everything that was wrong with the world. And by the end, I felt totally drained, right? But she's still my friend. Or it could just be that people I just was constantly comparing myself to them and therefore didn't feel good. So I just slowly started to look at, well, why? What is the why behind this? Why am I still friends with someone who's so negative that whenever we talk, it's only about why life sucks? Why am I still letting that in? What am I afraid of? And, I mean, I did a lot of questioning. And in the book, I have a bunch of different types of, I call them toxic people, toxic relationships, and what to do about them. From, you know, the frenemy, the person who pretends to be a friend and then stabs your back, to trolls, people who simply come in short term to tell you how much you suck. And I get them all the time, being a presence on the internet. I'm constantly getting people, and I don't know them. They just pop up to say, hey, I hated that video you did.
I know. I wonder, where do these people get off? I mean, are they living under the crust of the earth? I mean, seriously. I hear you. I hear you on that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just, I have the maybe Pollyanna view that really we're all beings of love. However, there are people there who, they appear evil because they're so based in fear and lack.
Yeah.
And so they do bad things because of those fears. And so do I take some stuff personally? Certainly. I don't like people telling me I suck. But
no,
then I
who
also
does?
Recognize that I'm pretty okay. You know?
Right.
I have days where I think I suck, but overall, I really don't need some random guy, probably in his mother's basement. I don't need his approval to be okay. So,
yes, I hear you on that. That's a beautiful analogy. I love that. Because, you know, there's those people who really find sport in kind of being the bubble popper, you know, and and so the hardest part I have found is when you're related to them, because you can't run from them. You have to deal with them, you know. So what could we do? What could we offer our listeners if they're among a crusty factor within their own genetics and family dynamic? How can they? How can they allow this like water off a duck just roll right over?
It definitely takes practice when there's someone like a family member or a coworker where you really can't. I have two approaches that I talk about in the Now of Happiness. There's the outside-in approach where you just break up with them. You're like, you know what? You aren't good for me. I don't need this. And you remove yourself from the situation. And then I have the inside-out approach. And I'm currently working on this with a client who has a lot of, she needs to do a lot of forgiveness with her sister. And so what we're doing is we're taking a really deep, dirty look at the thoughts that are going on behind the triggers. For example, a lot of people, the phrase, well, you're not here dealing with this. You have no idea what's going on, can trigger a lot of people. And so I encourage you to look at, well, why does that upset you so much? Is it because you're secretly happy that you aren't there and therefore you feel guilty? Like, what is it behind that? It used to trigger me a lot when people get on me about not yet having children and how selfish it is. But then I realized that the reason I felt it upset me so much is because I secretly did feel selfish. But then when I uncovered the reason for not having kids yet, it was completely and totally unselfish. It's totally about wanting the children that I do have in the future to come up in a much better, more stable place with a happier mother. So when I looked into, well, why is this triggering me? And when I do that with clients, we uncover a lot of junk that has, again, been told how we're supposed to or how we should think or feel. And that's what causes the bristling whenever a relative, you know, zeroes in on you to tell you how you're living your life wrong. Now, the simplest, I guess the woo-woo way I deal with this is I ground myself before going into a situation, because half my family members think I'm weird talking about intuition and having an internet business and, you know, I'm like the weirdo of the family. But I ground
myself.
Yeah,
me too.
Myself,
I hear you.
And then I surround myself in pink or white light. I really do this. And I have a little prayer that says, you know what, accept myself. I'm okay the way I am. I release any shoulds or have-tos. And I love the people who are telling me this because they think it's best for me. But I'm going to follow my own, you know, my own gut instinct because I trust myself. And it's a much more elegant prayer. But that's the basics of how I deal with people who don't understand me. And that's all it is they don't understand what you're trying to do. And when you tap into that, you have an inner confidence that allows you to not take it so seriously. Does it still hurt? Yeah. But it doesn't damage relationships the way if you take it totally personally.
And it's also their stuff. So it's basically pulling the power back for yourself and not giving them the power to have an effect upon you. So
it's
because
not about
it's,
you.
Right, it's not about you. And people will say the most inane things. And, I find myself several times where I literally have to shut my mouth. Like, it's hanging open. Like, I'm in disbelief of their ignorance. So or insensitivity or lack of compassion. And it's one of those things where you kind of, because you are a specific way, you in the back of your mind you expect, well, everyone's going to feel or respond that way, but it's not. And people have their own insecurities and their own stuff. And some people love nothing more than to project their stuff on you. And for you to be 30, I have to tell you, for you to be 30 and be so clear and so grounded and so whole, I give you kudos so abundantly, because when you hit 40, you're going to care so much less about other people's opinions. There's just something that happens. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, there isn't a woman I know that didn't hit 40, 41, 42, that all of a sudden this light bulb went off and it was like, wow, I really care less. So so get ready, because your 40s will be rocking. I have no doubt.
Awesome.
You will definitely embrace that decade with gusto. We have about 2 minutes left in this show. This has been I've really loved talking to you, Kimberly. This has been a wonderful show. Let's summarize a little bit about the part that character and resilience play in being a happy person.
Well, I love this topic about resilience because it's so vital to becoming happy. It's simply, when I talk about resilience, I mean acknowledging that there are challenges and then saying, okay, what am I going to do about it? Rather than denying the issue or sitting back and letting life make the decisions for you while you complain about it, right? That's one thing I bristle when people, oh, this is going so bad, and and I go, well, what do you want to do about it? Oh, well, I can't do it. Like, I just, my skin crawls. And so it's about taking responsibility for what you can do. Now, we can't control everything. We can't control the weather. We can't control other people. We can't really control the economy. But you can control your response to it. So if you're going through something, some sort of crisis or trauma, and it feels like you've got no options left, you pull in your resilience. And I talk about the 5 R's of resilience, where you relax on the positive thinking for a bit, because nothing is more irritating than having someone come along and say, well, be happy. that's total denial of the pain you're in. So relax just for a bit on the positive thinking, and then revisit the past. That's the 2nd R, where I say, well, look back on how situations have ended up working out in the past. If you kind of pick
okay, I have to, I'm going to cut
that.
You at that. For the rest of the insight, dump the junk and be happy, Kimberly Englott. God bless you all for listening today. Kimberly, I hate to cut you off, but you've been a wonderful guest. KimberlyEnglot.com. Please check her out on her website. She's a wealth of information, and she's a wonderful coach and guide. I thoroughly support and encourage you to contact her if there's anything you need to work through. Kimberly, again, God bless you. Thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities. This has
been
great.
Thank you so much, Lisa. My pleasure.
You're welcome. Oh, it was wonderful. I hope to talk again soon in the future, okay?
Oh, yeah, I'd love that.
Great. We will be in touch. This was wonderful. Thank you so much.